This morning, as we open God's Word to Hebrews chapter 11, and we are working our way through this chapter of Hebrews, which is called the faith chapter for very good reason. Our author, as he's writing to these believers who were starting to stumble, starting to kind of lose their faith, they were actually considering going back to the old way of worship, to Judaism. They were starting to defect. So he's given us this chapter filled with examples of the faithful, those who had made it through the tough times, those who did not give up on their faith. And we begin this morning by looking at verse 23, and we're going to finish up down through verse 29, and we'll be talking about Moses. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea, and as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. Lord, thank you for this life story of Moses, about his birth, about his life, about the great deliverance that he gave the people of Israel through your hand. Help us today, Lord, to examine his life, to look at these verses, to see what's highlighted here for us in his life of faith. May we learn from it, grow from it. May we see our own Christian walk to be one of faith. Help us today, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Last time we were together, we talked about the faith of Moses' parents. And we see this in verse 23. I'm just going to recap just a bit for you. Verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. They knew when they saw this baby was unlike any other baby. This word for beautiful, the word tob, is the same word that God used to describe after he had created. He said it was tob. It was good. This child was a very, very special child. And the parents knew it. And we don't know, we're not given all the details about it, but we have an idea. I have an idea. My own opinion is perhaps they got more information on this child, that this child would be a deliverer, and that your job is to protect him. We don't know exactly, but we know from looking at the life of the parents back in Exodus that they reveal to us the marriage of faith and common sense. Together as a team, Amrad and Jochebed, Moses' parents, developed a plan to keep this baby hid for 3 months. Moms, could you do that? Could you keep your baby quiet, even from the neighbors, for 3 months? And as I told you, life had to continue on. Wood had to be cut. Water had to be drawn. Supplies had to be purchased. And there you are with a little baby. Well, God, I'm sure, helped them in that matter. But together, with their stealth and with their wisdom, they protected this baby for 3 months. And then after that three-month period of time, we see the marriage of faith and risk. And how together they had to make a decision. After 3 months, God was ready for this baby to be placed in the hands of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, I don't think that Moses' parents could guarantee his safety. I mean, she made a basket of bulrushes, of reeds, covered it with tar and pitch, and made it suitable for the edges of the Nile, where it was placed among the reeds, and specific place it was, because this is where they had observed Pharaoh's daughter coming down. So, but they took a risk. They took their child, 3-month-old Moses, placed that child, who they have kept hidden for 3 months because of the Pharaoh's edict to kill all the males, and they send this baby out to be found by Pharaoh's daughter. I think that with any true faith comes risk. And maybe you need to think about that the next time you step up to do a ministry. It doesn't come without risk. Whenever you place your hand on doing something for God, it doesn't come without risk. And the risk for you may be, well, my class may not take off, or this ministry may not be supported, or something else may happen. But beloved, we step out, don't we? We just step out, we remain faithful, and we do what we can as unto the Lord. And that's what they did here. I'm reminded of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How that they didn't know for sure God would save them out of that fiery furnace. Remember the story? Nebuchadnezzar heated the thing up 7 times hotter than it had ever been before because of the disobedience of these three. They would not bow to the golden image because they worshipped only God above. And so when the time came for them to bow, they told the king, "We know that our God is able to deliver us, but if He chooses not to, it doesn't change our decision. We're taking a step of faith, which always involves risk." And God spared them, and their trust was in God's command to worship only Him. And then thirdly, we saw about faith and reward. Ultimately, of course, our reward is Jesus. Ultimately, our reward is heaven. Ultimately, our reward takes us out of this sinful body, out of this body that's plagued with hurts and problems and weaknesses, and we're delivered. And that is our future reward. But God also allows us to experience during our lives rewards for our faith. And we see this in Moses' parents. And you know the story, how that Miriam, Moses' sister, was standing there and she was keeping guard over that little ark of bulrushes. And there Pharaoh's daughter came down and got baby Moses. And just at that time, the angel Gabriel pinched the baby to make him cry and says, "Oh, what is this? And here's the baby." And she takes him in, and Miriam suggests, "Well, would you like for me to go get one of the Hebrew nursemaids to feed the baby?" "Why, of course." So the mother then is chosen and brought in, and we're told that she was brought in and paid wages to take care of her own baby. Ladies, don't get any ideas about the wages idea. But and even through that blessing, God blessed them. And as you start connecting the dots, it's almost like God put them there. He blessed them there. And she was able possibly to tutor her son, maybe even more than what we know. So this is a little bit about them in that first verse. This morning's text tells us several things about Moses himself. Look with me in verse 24. "By faith Moses, when he had grown up, he was about 40 years of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." Now, what does this tell us about faith? And I think it's very, very simple. By faith, he refused social position. He put God above social position. Now, I don't know how much you know about this young Hebrew Egyptian, But Moses was raised in the Egyptian way. He was taught the Egyptian language. He was probably educated in the finest Egyptian schools. He was a brilliant man. He was a man well respected, a man that could well, at least he was a prince, at best he could expect to be a king someday. So here we have a man, 40 years of age. Now some of you that are within that age range, think of all your peers, leaving all your peers, just making a decision and you're having to step away for whatever reason and you're leaving everybody that has connection with you. That's exactly what Moses decided to do here. He was trained Egyptian, schooled Egyptian, cultured Egyptian. His social life was Egyptian. But he made the decision to walk for God. Social pressure. I thought about that this week, especially with you teenagers. But for us as well, social pressure can really test us. Peer pressure can cause us to compromise in things that we would never do with God's people. The one thing that should remain true in any social climate, in any culture, in any generation, in any day, is the church. This church, for instance, we should never cave to social pressure. Do you agree with me? That we should be able to take God's word and say, this is what the word declares. Therefore, this is what I believe. But in the day that we are living in today, it's not real popular to be intolerant. It's not real popular to say, no, we believe this is authoritative, not just suggestive. It wasn't the 10 suggestions of Moses. It was the commandments. We believe that this word is not to be socially driven. And as a church, we're not to be socially driven. We are to be truth driven. And this is what I see in this first example of Moses. That by faith, he refused to let social position dictate his future. We're living in a day today where major denominations, I'm not talking about just little churches here and there, but major denominations are shifting away because of the pressure of their congregation. They are shifting away from biblical truth. They're saying things like, do not preach against sin. Let us work that out ourselves. Develop a discipleship that pleases everyone. In other words, that doesn't go against social norms. Here's one. Take the dusty old truths of the Bible and replace them with life-changing stories. Applications that are relevant to me. You know, Jesus did a lot of life teaching, but he never did it at the sacrifice of truth. Jesus said so many times, you remember, you've heard that it was said, but I say unto you. Jesus remained in a sense of trying to apply the truth, but never sacrificing truth. I do not, as your pastor, have to make the Bible relevant to you. I want you to hear me say this. I am commanded by God to preach the word. That word preach is caruso. It means to proclaim it. Even if I can only complain it with one hand. But I am to proclaim what the truth is to you. Not necessarily to make you see the relevancy of it. You know where the relevancy comes from God's word? It comes from your submission to it. When you submit yourself to God's law, you will see just how relevant it becomes to your life and mine. So here we see in this first verse that Moses took this step. And Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter because the Egyptian way was not going to be his future. Secondly, verse 24, by faith Moses, when he had grown up. Verse 25, I'm sorry. Choosing rather to suffer ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. The second thing I see about the faith of Moses that we can take home with us today is that by faith he refused sinful pleasures. Not only did he refuse those things that were sinful, most of them were probably sexual in nature, as Egypt worshipped so many different gods of this order, but not that he just refused those things, he chose instead to have ill treatment with the people of God. Rather than indulge in a carnal appetite, and beloved, if you are alive and you're seated in this room this morning, you have a carnal appetite. Sorry to disappoint you. Some of you may think there's a halo up there. But sin's curse runs through us. Our old nature reminds us of it from time to time, right? Am I the only one up here that struggles with being carnal sometimes? You know, people think that this injury happened. They kept telling me, Connie's got a line. You're going to cross it. You're awfully close. But that's not why I got it. Though she has that potential to respond, as we all do. And this is the point. But Moses, what he did was, he made a decision, a choice. The calling of Moses to lead his people was more compelling to him than enjoying the pleasures of Egypt. More than the pleasures of his personal interest. More than the pleasures of his personal satisfaction. This is what the true faithful believer does. We make choices, and every yes has a no connected to it. And every no has a yes connected to it. No to carnal, sinful pleasure says yes to God by faith. Even though sin does satisfy. If it didn't, there wouldn't be any problem. But it does satisfy. The problem, it just doesn't last. And it brings with it sorrow and death. As the scripture said, it begins, and it begins with the eye, perhaps, and then it's conceived in the heart. And then when it is born, it results in death. So here we have an example of this 40-year-old, this most eligible bachelor in all of Egypt. We see that his calling began with turning away from sinful desires. When I began to go back and study how Moses first realized his calling, things began to dawn on me, because all of this happened before the burning bush experience. But when you go back and you read, starting in chapter 2 of Exodus, and you read about, first of all, he walked up and an Egyptian was beating a Hebrew. And it wasn't premeditated murder, but he killed the Egyptian. And basically buried his body in the sand, the scripture says. Well, the Hebrews talked about that amongst themselves. And this word began to pass, unbeknownst to Moses. Until one day, two Hebrews were arguing, and I guess they were starting to get real fierce, and Moses got in between them and said, "Boys, calm down. Let's settle this." And one of the Hebrews said to Moses, you're not going to kill us and bury us in the sand too, are you?" And then Moses knew for sure that the word would get to Pharaoh, and that's when he left. As he left Egypt, in the desert, in Midian, he was sitting by a well. And the seven daughters of this priest came to get water for their flock and for themselves. The shepherds came down and gave them a big trouble. They weren't letting them get the water, nor were they letting them feed the herds. And from what I understand in the Old Testament, Moses single-handedly defended them. And not only defended them from the shepherds, but he actually drew their water. Moses was a fantastic guy. The calling of his life, I believe, in all of these details, began to show him he was a leader. He was a man of courage. And basically, he wasn't quite ready for God to use. But all of these are details of his life. Thirdly, in verse number 26, considering the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he chose the future reward over the physical blessing. Unlike us, we really don't have that choice. He had it. He had all of Egypt at his disposal. But instead, he chose the future reward. Now, what does it mean here when it says the reproach of Christ? Christ wasn't during the period of Moses. That's some 1,500 years later. What does this mean? The reproach of Christ. You need to know that the word Christ, Christos, is the same word in the Hebrew, Messiah. So Moses knew that there was a Messiah promised for God's people. By faith, he chose that career path for his life. He knew that he was a Hebrew. He knew that God was building his kingdom through the seed of Abraham. He knew all of this. And he wanted in at any price. By faith, he chose the future reward. Have you? Have you laid it all on the line for God? Have you given him your heart and your life and your soul? And are you counting on Christ alone for your salvation to secure it? Are you looking to the future to see where Jesus will have the things that you've worked in your life to secure rewards? Things of faithfulness, of commitment, of labor to the Lord that does not go unnoticed by God. And Hebrews, we've already talked about that in the beginning chapters. Beginning verses of chapter 11 about God doesn't miss our acts of faith. And He's a rewarder. I'm wondering how many of us are really following this future reward today. And I'll just jot some things down here just for you to think about. But today, commitment is so low. Where are the leaders of tomorrow? Many are here in this room, and I know who you are. You are leading in your own way, in your own family, in your own life, in your own class, in this particular church. You're leading. You're not waiting for me to spin your plate for you, to keep you motivated, and give you that phone call every so often to let you know I love you, and I do love you. But that's not why you're serving, and that's not why you're leading, and that's not why you're being faithful. You're being faithful because you have your eye on that future reward, as I do. And I want to be faithful to the Lord. But we're not seeing as many faithful folks as I would like to see. I would like to see young men, young women raised, grown up, pastors of our churches for the future. Who knows what God is up to? And who he's raising up. I sure didn't think it was in my path when I was 17 years old. I really had no clue it was. And some people think preachers are born that way. They're born and, oh, I'm going to be a preacher. Okay. But that's not how it happens most of the time. And sometimes it happens in later life where a person really feels the call on their life and they make a real choice and a real decision to follow what God would have for them. Well, fourthly, verse 27. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. In this verse, I see this about Moses. By faith, He took courage. He wasn't afraid of the king. Do you know that the words take courage, or the reverse part, fear not, I think it probably occurs in every book of the Bible in some form or fashion. In the New Testament, I think the words fear not occur more than any other phrase in the Bible. It's something that God has given us as instruction. What would Moses have to be afraid of? Execution, for sure. I mean, he would have to be made an example of, right? Basically, he says here, not fearing the wrath of the king. A king's wrath, we don't understand just how powerful this man was. This man could summon anyone at any time to go to his army, to go and do whatever, as he did, as he chased Moses out. But Moses, by faith, took courage. I wonder if his mother had a lot of influence over his early days, to where that in these latter years, he really was willing to trust God no matter what. Fear not. Trust God. Now, as I thought about this, I just want to ask you the question, what are you afraid of? What is there in your life right now? And you would say, Pastor, if I could be real upfront and personal and honest with you, I would say that I'm afraid of this. Or I'm afraid of that. Or I'm afraid of this. We've all got things that come as intrusions into our life. The word cancer scares all of us to death. Any other type of thing brings fear to us. But this faith that this man had to take the courage to stand up against this king, again, he had not yet received the burning bush. And yet here at this point in his life, he took courage. And here he came to a point in his life where he was not afraid of the future. He was not afraid of what would happen from the wrath of the king. He was not afraid of the incredible financial loss he was getting ready to take. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen the way that a prince lives in other countries, but it's pretty opulent. I think it'd be pretty cool for a little while. But by faith, he took courage. Verse 28, by faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. Basically, I see in this first verse, by faith, he obeyed the commands that he had. Now think with me for a minute. He didn't have the Ten Commandments. This was before the Ten Commandments were given him. What did he have? All he had was the instruction that God gave him. And step by step, Moses, as he does approach the burning bush, and as he does get his marching orders, and he does say, well, God, what is your name? Because when I go to him, what am I going to say to him? Whose authority am I going in? And God says, just tell him I am. And Moses says, that's not good grammar. What does that mean? I am. You just tell him that I am hath sent you, and don't you worry about grammar, because that's how we speak in heaven. And so Moses took this, and step by step, God instructed him, and he obeyed. God instructed him, he obeyed. At the very beginning here, he said, I want you to take the blood, and I want you to put it on the doorpost, because the death angel is going to pass through the camp tonight. I want you to cinch your belt. I want you to pack up the food that you're going to take, and I want you to get ready, for this is the Lord's Passover. And Moses not only obeyed himself, he gave the commandment to all of his people to follow. You know, beloved, we don't have to get confused in the confusing things of Holy Scripture, do we? Shouldn't we just obey what we already know? Just follow God in the things that you already know. I think by faith this man, who had been trained and educated Egyptian, by faith put all that aside and obeyed the little bit that he had from God. Well, lastly, the very last verse as we're looking at this. By faith. What do you notice there? The pronoun changes. We're still talking about Moses, but it says, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea, as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. I think what this is teaching me about Moses' faith is that by faith, he led others to step up. Now notice, he's leading this group. They've come to the Red Sea. And I've been told that there may be 2 million people in this group. 600,000 men. You just kind of do the math, what usually follows a man, and you'll kind of get an idea. This was a huge number of people. They get to the Red Sea, and you say, well, how far was it? That was my first question. How far was it? And how long does it take to get 2 million people across this body of water? And scholars estimate it would take 2 million people 24 hours to cross. That means if I'm starting to walk now, it's going to take me a day to get all the way through. And so you can just see the magnitude of this and the scope of this and how broad this was. I can see that let's just say that the space was from here to here. Let's say it was 60 feet wide. Well, you in that group of that width of people, you've got all kinds of people. You got really scared people right in the middle, you know, doing this all the time. You got people walking on the edge, splashing the water at each other. You got people that are just sticking as close to Moses as they can get, which means they're right in the front of the pack. You got some other people in the back of the pack because they're thinking, we get halfway, things don't look good. Maybe we can make it back. You've just got all kinds of things there. But my point is, Moses led them to this point of faith, and they followed him. And this is what I see in this man's life in these verses. By faith, he refused social position. By faith, he refused sinful pleasure. By faith, he chose the future reward over physical blessing. By faith, he took courage rather than give way to fear. By faith, he obeyed the commandments that he had. And lastly, by faith, he led others to step up. 2 Timothy 2:2 tells faithful men to teach others, so that they can be faithful men. And they can be passing on the truth of God as we go. I think that's true about faith. And I say this to you from time to time. But I hope that our faith shines as brightly in every person's passing as it shone in Nancy Clark's passing here in this church. Many of you don't know her. But we'll never forget what a what stellar faith she had all the way down to the time of her departure. Even though it was difficult and still difficult on the family. She was a person about which I saw her faith. And I want that faith in my life. I want it to get me to the end. And I want to help you to step up as well as a church. That we're not afraid to take a step forward, a step backward if we need to. That we step up, whatever it is God brings to us, and we do with what we sense God wants us to do. Now, this morning, I may be speaking to you, and maybe you've never yet made the biggest decision of your entire life, and that is to place your faith in a living Christ. A living, holy Christ who loves you, and who is the only guarantee you have for eternity. This morning, in the quietness of this music, as you think about the faith of Moses and all those different aspects, think about what it is God would have you do. And if He's calling you to Himself, if He's opening your heart to believe, place your faith today, right now, in the Lord Jesus. Ask for His mercy and His grace. It's like the waters that cover the oceans. His mercy runs deep, it runs wide. And there's enough mercy here for you. Pray and ask Him to save you. And then come and share with us that wonderful, wonderful news. Maybe God is asking you to take a step of faith in something you have to make a decision on. Ask for His help. Ask for His guidance. Realizing that it takes faith to take that step. And let's just enter a life of faith for our Lord. Let's all pray together.